Well, good morning, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the November 17th regular and special meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission. Let the record show that all commissioners are present, minus Commissioner Benvenuto. Let me just say a couple rules of engagement here. Those members of the public that are wishing to address the commission must fill out a speaker slip. If the non-agenda public items will be heard at the beginning of the meeting, those who will wish to address the board about a topic that's not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker slip. Members of the public may also request an item being pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker slip form prior to the start of the meeting. To speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker slip request form submitted to the recording secretary. If you wish to speak in opposition to an item, complete a pink-colored form. If you wish to speak in favor of an item, it's a gold-colored form. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on. We don't have any speaker slips on the non-agenda public comment. Are there any commissioner comments prior to starting the meeting? Hearing none, we'll move on to the report from the President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gentry. I've asked. Did you want to address?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a half a dozen very brief announcements for you all, if you'd bear with me. First, on November the 14th, 3 days ago, the San Diego City Council ratified the action taken by this board in a special meeting on November the 3rd, and that is to expend a little over $6.5 million of agency funding from our Housing First San Diego account into the operations of three temporary bridge shelter sprung structures, which are being constructed as we speak. Those structures will provide temporary shelter for up to 700 individuals who are homeless, both individuals and families. Those structures will be available in December, and the vote, I will point out to you all, was 8-1 on the City Council. So that is in process. Also, of note, on October the 30th, the Housing Commission published its annual report. We published it online. If you've not seen it, I would encourage you to go online and take a look at it. Our communications staff under Scott Marshall's leadership keeps exceeding the year before. This is by far the best report I've ever seen. And the electronics in it still blows my low-tech mind away. So I would encourage you all, if you've not seen it, to go online and take a look at it. It represents this agency and the fine work we do very well. I'll point out also that the Hotel Churchill, which the Housing Commission completed about 14 months ago, has won its sixth award since we finished the property. It recently received an Orchid Award from the San Diego Architectural Foundation. If you remember, every year the foundation puts out awards for orchids and onions. Orchids are better. So we're very pleased with that. The fine work that Debbie Ruane and also Mike Pavko and their entire staff have done rehabilitating that historic structure. It continues receiving kudos and awards throughout the neighborhood. Legislatively, one item that was requested by this board, and one of my goals for you all for last year, was achieved last month, and that is the governor signed AB 1637, Assembly Bill 1637, into law. This is a bill that this agency drafted. It was championed by Todd Gloria, our delegate in the General Assembly, and this bill now is known as the Missing Middle Housing Act. This will allow two agencies in the state, San Diego, and also Santa Clara County, which kind of jumped onto our bandwagon toward the end of the process, to be guinea pigs to experiment over the next 2 years on how successful we can be in kicking up the income limits for our customer base from a previous limit of 80% of median income to 150% of median income, hence the nomenclature missing middle, the theory being that people at the top with enough income to afford the marketplace can do fine, and that there is some supply of affordable housing for the poor, but the missing middle have few resources at their disposal. So Debbie and her folks are going to have fun devising programs for that over the next couple of years. And in closing, I'd like to beg the board's indulgence for a 3-minute and 18-second video, not that we're counting, will reflect somebody you know well. I was honored to receive the Herman Award from NARO at the meeting in Pittsburgh last month. You'll see three of my favorite board members up there with me with the plaque. And this is kind of a lifetime achievement award. And if you could bear with me for this video, I would appreciate it.
Not only are bridges wonderful, rafts are not too shabby either, so thank you all for listening to me. And some other thank yous as well, and acknowledgments to start with. And yes, as I told my staff, I can say something in 3 minutes. But these are going to be 3 southern minutes, so hold on. Thank you, Steve, for this award. It is the best award in the industry. I very much appreciate it, and I'm honored and cherish it. And Carl, thank you for chairing the committee that awarded it to me. I very much appreciate it. To Jeff Davis from San Diego, who penned the paperwork, Jeff, thank you. Means a lot. And to those of you who chimed in and said, yeah, maybe Gentry's okay. To Rob, Preston, Renee, Jim, Don, Tina, Jane, Mary, and the other Rick, thank you all very much. Also, I need to recognize some folks from San Diego here who are of great importance to me. 3 of my board members are here, thank you all very much, as well as a number of staff members and my wonderful wife, Deb Gentry. Thank you all very much. You know, as Steve said, I've been in this business many years, 45 to be exact, and a lot of things we take for granted now did not exist back then. You know, RAD did not exist, although it was needed back then. The moving to work program did not exist, nor did the home program, nor tax credits, nor Hope 6, nor even CDBG, nor even Section 8. If you want to be really, get really bored, I'll explain the difference between Section 8 certificates and vouchers. The Herman Award did not even exist then. FADA did not exist then. TAFA did not exist in 1972. But NARO did. And it was NARO and the relationships I gathered from NARO that have made my career. And for that, each and every one of you, thank you very much. It's been a great run. And for the benefit of my board, it does not mean I'm getting ready to retire. It just means I'm finishing the first half of my career. And I assure you that NARO will be around for the next 45 years. And it is the vehicle where we learn what to do, learn what not to do, where we develop our professional careers, and where we develop friendships that will last forever. Thank you.
And to this board and staff who really made this happen, thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Congratulations again on that coveted award. All right, folks, the minutes of the October 6th and November 3rd meeting have been distributed to the commissioners. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve as presented. Motion by Commissioner Surdy, second by Commissioner Moraga. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Let's go to the consent agenda. I'm proposing that we handle items 100, 101, 102, and 105 on consent this morning. I have no speaker slips requesting to speak on any of those items. Unless there's any objection, I'll entertain a motion to take those items on consent. A motion by Commissioner Davis, second Commissioner Keeley. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Those items are approved. Let's go on to items 103. 103 is a multi-housing revenue bond program policy amendments. And Mr. Miyahara, I see that you're going to be handling this. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Vice President of Multifamily Housing Finance. With me is Tina Kessler. Staff is recommending updates to our multifamily housing revenue bond policy. We update the policy periodically. The last update was in 2013. The primary purpose of the changes today are to ensure that we are in conformance with state requirements. The California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, who we often reference as CDLAC, requires some updates. We also want to align some of our policy with recent changes to the California Health and Safety Code. And finally, there was an opportunity for general cleanup to the policy. The agency accomplishes a lot with our bond program. It's one of the two programs, the other being the low-income housing tax credit, that is responsible for the vast majority of affordable housing production across the country. Housing Commission program has issued over $1.6 billion in bonds, created over 17,000 units here in the city. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tina for the details.
Good morning. As Ted mentioned, the item before you today is a request that the Housing Commission recommend to the Housing Authority to approve the proposed changes of the current multifamily mortgage revenue bond policy. Although the Housing Authority acts as the issuer of the bonds, there is no financial liability to the City, the Housing Authority, and the Housing Commission in connection with the issuance or repayment of bonds. The major proposed changes include changing the name of the policy to Bond Issuance and Post-Issuance Compliance Policy. For conformance with CDLAC's current regulations, issuers of bonds must have an approved issuance and post-issuance policy prior to December 31st of this calendar year. In addition, we are proposing to revise the language that describes how the bond issuance fees are calculated, providing clarification to the fee charged at closing and annual fees thereafter. We would also be proposing to add language for consistency with current health and safety code regulations, allowing for rent calculation methodology to be consistent with the TCAC regulations. We are also proposing to fully revise the post-issuance compliance monitoring section of the policy, further explaining the roles and responsibilities of project owners and developers, as well as the issuer, to ensure that the requirements from CDLAC are outlined and detailed in the policy. Staff recommends approval of these changes, and we are also requesting that authorization for the President and CEO of the Housing Commission or his designee to perform acts as necessary to implement the revised policy. With your approvals today, this item would be presented for consideration at the December 11th Housing Authority meeting. That concludes our presentation, and we are available to answer questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kessler. Commissioners, any questions on the modifications? Mr. Gentry.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, this does not pertain to this particular document, but is part of a broader scenario. The House of Representatives in their bill H.R. 1, which is the Tax Reform Act that was passed earlier this week, eliminated this program. Rather, I should say proposed to eliminate this program. It's not yet law. And if that goes through both houses of Congress, it becomes law. The elimination of the private activity bonds, tax-exempt bonds, would have a devastating effect on this agency's production of affordable housing. You heard Mr. Miyahara talk about the thousands of units that have been produced over the years. And this particular program that came out of the Housing Act, of 1986, has been wonderful. Losing it would be a disaster. The companion bill in the Senate, which came out of the Senate Finance Committee this morning, does not include an elimination of this program. So what we're hoping and what the industry is hoping is that in conference committee, this program will survive. It makes no sense to me philosophically why the House would retain 9% tax credits but get rid of taxes and bonds and 4% tax credits. They do much the same thing, just in a little bit of a different way. So I'd want the board to be aware of this, that there are issues going on here that, depending on how it plays out on the banks of the Potomac over the next 2 or 3 weeks, could have a profound effect on this program. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. We'll keep an eye on that for sure, and I'm sure that Commissioner Walsh will keep us apprised of what's going on this this proposed legislation. Okay, commissioners, we're being asked to approve the proposed changes to the multifamily mortgage revenue bond policy. I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion on this item? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Ms. Kessler, Mr. Mihara, thank you for your staff report. Okay, commissioners, let's go on to item number 104. Item 104 is a final bond authorization for Fairmont Family Housing. I think it's Mr. Miyahara day today.
Joe's going to handle this one.
Okay, Joe.
Good morning, commissioners. This is final bond authorization for Fairmont Family Housing. The recommendation is the Housing Authority approve issuance of up to $22 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bonds. Fairmont Family is a proposed new construction of 80 apartment units for families. It is to be a five-story building located at 6121 Fairmont Avenue. That's near the Kaiser Zion Hospital, and it'll be contiguous to the proposed 80-unit Twain Veterans Project, which is on your special agenda today. It's a mix of 1, 2, 3-bedroom units, and the development details are in Table 1, Page 1 of the report. This is part of Housing First to support the Housing Commission's Homeless Action Plan. Fairmont Family includes 8 Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing VASH vouchers for homeless veterans. The developer is Affirmed Housing Group. They're an experienced for-profit developer. They previously obtained Housing Commission loans and successfully completed them. And there's a development team summary in the report, Table 2. This shows you a map of where it is located. North of 8, east of 15, and Kaiser Zion is immediately to the right-hand side of that map. This shows you a map of where it's located at Fairmount and Twain. This shows you the two contiguous properties. The Fairmount is on the left, and the Twain would be on the right. Total development costs are $32,174,500. That's approximately $402,000 per unit. It includes a previously approved Housing Commission loan of $9,468,500. We have a breakout of the sources and uses in the report at Table 3. There's also a comparison of the property with similar past projects summarized in Table 5. Affordability is summarized in Table 6 of the report. The proposal would create 79 affordable housing units with rents in the 30 to 60% AMI range plus one unrestricted manager's unit. As I said before, it's a mix of units, 32 ones, 23 twos, 24 threes. The schedule is, if the Housing Commission approves today's recommendations, then we would move on to the Housing Authority meeting on December 11 of 2017. If it's approved there, we'd estimate start of construction January of 18 and complete construction in spring of 19. And as Ms. Kessler explained to you with bond projects, the developer is responsible for paying all costs of issuing bonds. The issuance would be pursuant to Housing Commission policy, and the bonds will not create a financial liability to the commission, the authority, or the city. Neither the full faith and credit of the city or the Housing Authority is pledged to repayment of the bonds. There's a picture of what it would look like, an artist's rendering. We have with us today, I believe, a representative from the developer available to answer questions. Let me turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Surdy?
Thank you. Thank you very much. How do you determine the percentage of veterans that would be housed in a project similar to this? Is there one general formula, or does it vary by development? Thank you. That's two questions.
Sure. So under our Housing First San Diego, we have a NOFA process, Notice of Availability of Funding, and developers have the opportunity to propose or request capital funds or rental subsidies. So in this case, for this project, the developer requested 8. So I don't think that there's a formula. It really depends on the developer and their appetite to serve any given population. Yes, and it is to some extent advantageous to have VASH vouchers. The developers get increased rents through our payment standards, and also the VA provides all of the services. So in this case, for the Fairmont development, the developer is generating excess revenue to help pay for project costs.
Okay, so 10% of the project will be set aside for homeless veterans. That's my understanding, right? Okay. Commissioners, any other questions? Okay. Final bond authorization for the Fairmont Family Housing Project. A motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Walsh. Any further discussion? I want to see this project up and running, coming out of the ground in January. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for the staff report. This now brings us to item number 106. 106 is also a preliminary bond authorization for Playa del Sol project. Gentlemen? Joe, are you covering this one as well?
Okay, this next item is the preliminary bond authorization for Playa del Sol. As you noted, the previous item was a final authorization. This is preliminary. This starts the process. Mm-hmm. The recommendations are that the Housing Commission recommend Housing Authority approve issuance of up to $11,500,000 in tax-exempt multifamily housing review bonds. The approvals include certain procedural steps that are needed, such as issuing an inducement resolution authorizing a bond application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, CIDLAC, approving a bond counsel, Jones and Hall, and a financial advisor, which is CSG Advisors. It's also authorizing the Housing Commission's President and CEO to execute documents, implement approvals, take actions necessary, convenient, or appropriate upon the advice of the General Counsel and or the Bond Counsel. We'd also be recommending that the City Council hold an IRS-required tax equity and fiscal responsibility, TEFRA, public hearing, which is another way to allow the public to comment on this bond issuance. Playa del Sol has proposed new construction of 42 affordable apartment units for families. It is to be located in a vacant site in Otay Mesa at Ocean View Hills Parkway, north of Route 905, State Route 905 and east of Interstate 805. And there will be a mix of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom units in a three-story, multiple-building configuration. It will be located in Pardee Homes' proposed Ocean View Hills Master Plan community. And this Playa del Sol project fulfills certain affordability requirements for an off-site, unrelated property that is owned by Pardee. There's development details on table one of page two of the report. The developer is Chelsea Investment Corporation. They're experienced for-profit developer. We've previously worked with them on a number of projects and successfully completed those projects. There's a development team summary in table two of the report. The developer is requesting new issuance of up to $11.5 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds. Also, there would be an application to California Debt Limit Allocation Committee and an application to the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee. Oh, went too far, that one. Here's a site location. It shows you roughly where it is, and that's Interstate 805 going north-south and State Route 905 going east-west. So it's a very large vacant site. That sort of shows you how much vacant land we're talking about. And this gives you an idea of the scale of the master plan development. That shaded portion is our 42 units. The Par D total development is somewhere in the 900 unit range. It's quite large. It does have a park and rec area, which would be available to our Playa del Sol residents. Not too far. Estimated total development cost is $17,276,791. It's $411,000 approximately per unit. The financing includes bond proceeds, tax credits of 4%, contributions from the master developer Par D, and Chelsea will also contribute some developer fee, plus defer some developer and contractor fee. There are no Housing Commission cash loan funds requested for this project. So no Housing Commission loan funds, no state money, no federal money. Estimated sources and uses are summarized in Table 3 of the report. Also a comparison of the property with other past projects summarized in Table 5, page 5 of the report. This shows you the affordability. Proposed 41 units in the 50 to 60% range. I think there was a typo error in executive summary which referred to 30% AMI. It's actually 50 to 60% for all 42 units, actually. One manager's unit is restricted by the owner at 65% based upon arrangement they had with Par D. It's a mix of 3 one-bedrooms, 15 twos, 24 threes. So a goodly proportion of large three-bedroom units in this one. If the Housing Commission approves today's recommendations, then we would move on to the December 11th Housing Authority meeting, and the plan would be for applications to CIDLAC and TCAC, and if all goes as planned, an estimated start of construction in early 2018. And as with our other bond projects, the developer is responsible for paying all costs under the bond financing. The bonds are not going to financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Commission, and neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city nor full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to the payment of the bonds. So that is what is proposed, Housing Authority issuance of $11,500,000 of tax-exempt bonds. And we have with us today Chris Earle, who is a representative from Chelsea. This sort of gives you an artist rendering of what the project would look like. Let me open it up to you for questions.
Thank you. Is this the first affordable housing project within that Par D master plan community?
I believe so, but let me ask Chris to comment on that.
Can you turn on your mic, please?
For this particular area, Ocean View Hills, it is.
Do we know if there's others contemplated?
I don't know.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Any other questions for the developer while we have him out there?
I do. I got a
Commissioner Walsh. Give me.
Hypothetically, if you weren't able to get tax-exempt bonds or a 4% tax credit, would you be able to complete this project?
It'd be questionable. The tax credit business is pretty resilient when it comes to financing, so I'd be hopeful in the long term that it would be able to be done, but in the near term, it would be an issue.
Thank you.
Mr. Surdy?
Was military housing suggested at all?
No, ma'am.
Why?
It's designed based on inclusionary housing specifically for a family, a community to take care of the inclusionary housing obligations for that master plan community. It just wasn't on the table to look into military housing specifically. However, if you look at the, sources, it doesn't really involve a lot of public funding per se, less the tax credits.
Mr. Gentry?
Mr. Chairman, a further answer to Mr. Walsh's question. Absent the tax-exempt bond financing and the 4% tax credits here, there will be a financial hole of over $6 million in this property. And the speaker said that the developer would go after 9% tax credits to replace that. However, they are highly competitive, and they fill up every year. So if this one got done, something else will go lacking. So the end result is, absent the tax-exempt bond financing and the tax credits, we would effectively lose this number of units somewhere in San Diego.
Okay. Any other questions for the developer?
Not for the or whoever is appropriate for it. Can you elaborate on the fulfillment of the certain affordability requirements for an off-site unrelated? How is that? Is this fulfilling this project and another project, or can you explain that?
Well, there was another project that Pardee completed by the Mass Boulevard area near Santee, and this was an arrangement between the city and Pardee that they would have to provide off-site units, and this was approved by those other parties. So it's an action that was related to that third-party development.
So the 42 units is...
Good morning, Debbie Ruane. Pardee approached us about a year and a half ago, I believe it was, Mr. Christensen, and they were developing a master plan community on Mast Boulevard right against Santee, the city of Santee. However, the property was in San Diego. And when the construction of that master plan community was done, the whole property was going to get annexed into the city of Santee. And while there was an obligation for affordable housing units on that Mast Boulevard site, Santee didn't want any affordable housing units. They said, we've got enough of that type of housing, even though it's only naturally affordable. So Pardee had this obligation to build affordable housing units with a city that didn't want it, and they said to us, what can we do? And at that point, it was Councilmember Sherman and Councilmember Alvarez. And Alvarez said, I want those units in my development. So the two commissioners made an agreement, and we facilitated that, and the affordable units were transferred down to this site.
That's very helpful.
So does this site not have an obligation?
This one.
I don't believe it did.
Yeah, this one did not have an obligation. It had a check.
No, that's absolutely right. This site was part of a huge development, was approved before the inclusionary requirements were in effect. So this was a good deal. We were able to take 42 units and put it into an area which didn't require the construction of any units.
Yeah, that's really helpful to put it in perspective. Thanks for digging into that. Any other questions? I have no speaker slips. I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Cerdy. Any further discussion? Preliminary bond financing for Playa del Sol. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, staff. Moving right along, let's go to item 107. This is the fiscal year 2017 comprehensive annual financial report and single audit reports. Tracy, are you handling this?
I believe the audit committee will make the recommendation first. I believe the audit committee will make the recommendation second.
Good morning, Chair Tassin, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Legal Counsel. I'm Tracy McDermott, the Chief Financial Officer of the San Diego Housing Commission, and I have with me our Controller, Marie Lawless. We are here today to present the results of our fiscal year 2017 annual financial audit. I will begin with a brief summary of the audit results and then move on to the financial results. But before I begin, I first want to thank the entire finance team for their extraordinary work during the year, as well as the preparation of this CAFR. As the Housing Commission continues to grow, so do our audit requirements. This is a tremendous accomplishment and a very short turnaround, and the entire team is to be commended. Thank you, team. So So moving on, we received an unmodified audit opinion. This is a clean opinion. This is a good thing. We had no comments or findings on our internal controls or business processes. Let's move on to our financial results summary. In fiscal year 2017, the San Diego Housing Commission received total revenues of over $268 million, of which 72% is generated from federal sources. We received over $2 million from the City of San Diego, primarily for the operation of the interim shelter for homeless adults and associated supportive services. Our total expenses in 2017 were close to $220 million. And this includes expenditures of about $27 million that were made for capital improvements and included the purchase of town and country property. The Housing Commission's homeless efforts were $29 million. This slide is comprised of two pie graphs that show our assets and our liabilities and net position, also referred to as our balance sheet. As of June 30th, 2017, the Housing Commission's total assets exceeded total liabilities by over $567 million. This is also known as net position. Net position is the accumulated net worth since the agency's inception. This is the net value of all of the agency's assets if they were liquidated and outstanding debts and obligations were paid. Now, I want to take this opportunity to explain net position by the categories as designated by our accounting standards. First, let's look at net investment and capital assets. That's our brick and mortar, our properties. Cost at acquisition plus building improvements, less depreciation or any loans outstanding on these assets. Next, we have restricted net position. This is primarily made up of notes receivable for federally backed loans and mortgages. And last, for financial reporting purposes only, the rest is presented as unrestricted net position. However, several restrictions apply. This slide further breaks out our net unrestricted net position by categories. As you can see, there are no additional funds available for use. And that is because 50% is existing affordable housing loans. And about 36% is earmarked by board resolutions in the 2018 budget. This leaves very little for our property replacement reserves, which are restricted for maintaining over 2,500 Housing Commission-owned properties. Finally, about 5% is in the contingency reserve, and that is required by the City of San Diego. So the net balance available for discretionary future use is zero. This pie graph shows 2017 revenues by funding type, our federal, local, and state. And we continue to receive a significant portion of our revenue from federal sources, over $193 million. This slide is a summary of statement of net position comparing 2017 to 2016. Our total assets increased by over $52 million. Over half of the increase is due to the rehabilitation of our Housing Commission-owned assets, the acquisition of town and country, and the conversion of state sites to public housing. The other half of the increase is primarily due to loans paid off and new loans issued by the Housing Commission. This slide shows our revenue and expenses year over year, 2017 compared to 2016. Our total revenue increased by close to $16 million or 6%, primarily due to an increase in the receipt of affordable housing finance funds and move into work, while expenses increased only by $2 million or 1%. This shows our revenue year over year, 2017 compared to 2016. The majority of our revenue is from grant revenue, including housing assistance grants, which account for approximately 81% of all total revenue earned. Now here we have our expenses year over year, 2017 compared to 2016. Housing assistance continues to be the majority of the Housing Commission's expenses. In the interest of time, I'm just going to move to the slide about homelessness. This shows our expenditures from 2013 to 2017 on our homelessness activities. This continues to be a growing mission for the agency, the Housing Commission has been increasing resources to address the homelessness issue. This chart shows upward path in expenditures made by the San Diego Housing Commission over the past 5 fiscal years to assist homeless individuals, which totaled $29 million in 2017. And finally, I would like to conclude by highlighting that for the 9th year in a row, we have received the GFOA Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. And for the past 7 years, the Outstanding Achievement and Popular Annual Financial Reporting, the PAFR. We expect to receive the same awards for 2017. I would like to thank the Audit Committee for their support, and I'm available to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice report, nice overview, especially for the new commissioners to have a high overview of what the revenues are, where the sources are, what our expenses are, where the key areas that we're focusing in on. Before I go to Commissioner Moraga, I wanted to again thank the Audit Committee, Ms. Davis, former Commissioner Spoon, and Mr. Moraga. Mr. Moraga, you have the floor.
Hello? Okay. I think it was on. On behalf of the Audit Committee, I wanted to make a quick statement on their behalf for those that aren't here. We met earlier this month, and CFO Tracy McDermott presented the annual financial audit report, and Corwin Resnick presented the overview of the CAFRA. Again, as mentioned in the presentation today, it was another clean opinion, but most importantly, there were no comments made by the auditors or deficiencies found during the course of the audit, so therefore no management letter was issued. Also, there were no disagreements with management during the course of the audit, which is very important to know. Again, congratulations to your staff for the 9th year in a row. I had to write down the name of the award because it's so long. Now you can all see it. I won't even have to say it. So, congratulations again on those 2 awards. The audit committee unanimously voted to recommend the commission to accept this audit as stated. So, on behalf of the audit committee, we would like to recommend the approval of this audit.
Well done. I'll take that. Yes, Commissioner Walsh.
One question.
Yes, sir.
Ms. McDermott, as the newbie up here, I'm going to ask a little leeway from you as I understand this. So,
absolutely.
For example, on slide 7, when it says total unrestricted net position, in modern parlance, I'd actually say that's absolutely not unrestricted funds. Those funds are committed in a variety of ways. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is just an accounting term only.
Fantastic. And as a matter of fact, when you look at these funds as they're committed, many of them are committed. They're not funds that are actually on your books. It's not dollars in the banks. It's money that has already been lent out or that is going to be lent out.
That's correct. Some of the monies are due to us.
That's right. Last thing, too, just so I can clarify, because there's a lot of discussion of this, and I want to make sure I get it right for myself. When you look at the Housing Commission funding, if you look at slide 16 going forward, every single year, at least since shown in FY13 to FY17, the Housing Commission increasingly spends more on homelessness issues. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's great. Thanks for educating me on that.
Great questions, Commissioner Walsh, and especially in light of the fact that we've had some media coverage and interest in what the reserves are of this agency, and for us to be able to clarify and for the commissioners to understand that, you know, what exactly do we have in terms in reserves, uncommitted reserves versus just sitting, you know, money sitting in the bank there, is important for us to clarify these points. So any other questions, any other thoughts? Ms. McDermott, any other input you wish to bring to the commission?
No, we had a clean opinion.
Very good. That's a good thing. Congratulations to you guys. This is a big deal. This is how agencies get in trouble when you don't have these kinds of controls and management over and oversight. Did Cohen Resnick want to make any statements to us?
They're not here today.
Okay, well, I guess they don't. I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga. I have a second by Commissioner Surdy to accept staff's recommendation. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Nice job. Congratulations to you. And again, my thanks to the Audit Committee. I don't see former Commissioner Spoon here today, but she has given tirelessly to this organization and continues to do so, even though she's no longer serving officially on the commission itself. She continues to serve on the committee, and we're grateful for her service there. Okay. Let's move on to under the special meeting agenda, item 108. This is an additional loan recommendation for the Twain Veterans Apartments. Mr. Miyahara, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you again for allowing for a special meeting today. Believe me when I say that the last thing we wanted to do this year was end it with a special meeting, especially considering the request is for additional funding. The item before you is a funding increase for the Twain Veteran Apartments. The request is requesting an additional $2 million, which would bring our loan amount from $5.5 million to $7.5 million. The request is a result of increased construction costs to develop the project. Twain Veteran is a 80-unit permanent supportive housing development for veterans located in Granville. The issue here is cost. Housing Commission staff, as well as our development partners, do our best to estimate costs prior to coming to the board. Back in February when the original action was approved, staff reviewed historical cost information from both recently completed developments and developments under construction, affirmed engaged a general contractor to provide them with a cost estimate, and the Housing Commission engaged an independent third party to validate their costs. Having said that, there are also market forces that come into play, which can cause volatility in construction markets. Rental vacancy rates are in the low threes, cap rates are in the 4 to 5% range, and interest rates are low. The rental market is very strong right now. This means that developers are active, they're pursuing projects, and as a result, subcontractors and general contractors are extremely busy. The hard costs of developing Twain are over budget. The project has been bid out to three general contractors. The developer has engineered, value engineered the build. They've also compressed the schedule, and today they propose to select the lowest bidder. Total development cost of the project has increased by approximately $2.5 million, which is around 10% from the original budget. The developer was successful in securing 9% tax credits. These are extremely hard to get an award for. Part of receiving an award, developers have to start construction within 6 months. And because of that reason, there are timing constraints that don't allow the developer to go out to try and pursue additional competitive funding sources, which is why the staff is recommending increasing our loan by $2 million. As part of the proposal, the developer proposes to defer approximately half of their fee, which is modeled at $636,000. So staff respectfully requests that this additional funding is approved today. The developer is prepared to start construction next month. The president and CEO of Affirmed Housing, James Silverwood, could not be here today due to a conflict of interest at a California Housing Consortium event, but staff has prepared some remarks on his behalf, and with that I'll end it and allow staff to put those comments on public record.
Thank you, Mr. Miyahara. Did you mean to say a conflict of interest or a conflict in schedule?
Oh, excuse me, conflict in schedule. I apologize for that.
Thank you. A little important there. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When was the cost validation studies done?
I'd say November through January, and then a funding recommendation was brought forward in February. And during that time, we engaged the Gordian Group, who is a construction consultant. They validated the costs that the developer proposed. So there was actually, you know, three-part check. The developer has an affiliated general contractor who builds their own projects. They engaged a general contractor to bid the project out, and the Housing Commission conducted third-party cost review of those two studies.
So those studies were done about a year ago?
I'd say about eight or 9 months ago, yeah.
Okay. And we didn't foresee these increases at that time.
No, we did not. But we're hearing it from both all of our development partners who are actively developing, as well as the BIA, that costs are going up.
Are we? Is this something that we're learning from going forward with future projects and estimating costs on future projects? Are we trying to allocate? You know, take the inflation? I suspect on the cost of materials into effect or into consideration on future loans?
Absolutely, and that's part of the exercise that the developers and our third party does. There's an escalator factor based on when they expect to start construction. But yeah, there's some concern from staff and the development community about where cost is going. So we will certainly take that into consideration for future projects.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, this is something that we're not. We want to make sure that we keep our arms around. This had nothing to do with unforeseen issues in the project. This is strictly on the cost of materials inflation. Is that right?
Materials and labor, yes.
Materials and labor. Okay. Ms. Rain?
The staff is actually looking very carefully at making sure we have sufficient escalators in future fundings. The challenge with this deal specifically was they had the award of the 9% tax credits. Not only do they have to close, if they don't close, we forfeit the opportunity to add these affordable housing units to San Diego. We lose the money, and the developer is penalized by not being able to apply for these tax credits for 2 years in the state of California.
I can appreciate that. I can appreciate us not wanting to lose any inventory of affordable housing, for sure. I also can appreciate wanting to try to have a good handle on what the estimates are, and that's why we do these cost validation studies. Mr. Moraga?
You said the two drivers were labor and what was the second one?
Materials.
What is the primary driver of the labor cost? Is this a prevailing wage job?
It is. We actually have representatives from a firm. I think we have their director of construction. He might be able to pinpoint some of those.
That'd be great.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Mike Espano, Vice President of Affirm Housing Group Construction. To answer your question, we've seen manpower shortages in a variety of trades. One or two of the most prominent ones that we've had in recent projects are framing and drywall. Developers are busy and subs are busy. We're having difficulty having people bid on our projects, the ones that we build for ourselves, and also the ones that we have through other general contractors. So the labor pool is really small. Everybody's really busy. This is a large project combined with Fairmont next door to it. And it's a long schedule, so creates even further difficulties in estimating.
Mr. Spano, I appreciate you being here today to answer those questions. Any further questions? Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
What does this bring the per cost unit to, and what was it from?
So the per unit cost is approximately $359,000 on the second table, third row down. The previous cost was $328,000. So simple math, that's about $30,000 per unit.
Significant jump. Okay, any other questions? We are where we are. Thank you. Appreciate that, staff. Commissioners, hearing no other questions, I have nobody else, no other request to speak. The chair will entertain a motion. Commissioner Davis, in support of staff recommendation, any second? Commissioner McKeely, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings our meeting today and special meeting to a close. I appreciate your participation. I think we've moved the ball forward today on several significant projects. Meeting's adjourned.